Our Bible reading for today is taken from Psalm 24, verses 1 to 10. I read, "The earth is Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by false god. They will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he? Is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory." Amen.
On the 10th of September 2022, at 12 noon, an announcement was made on the steps of the Royal Exchange Building in the City of London. Do you know what had happened 2 days before? The 8th of September 2022. The Queen had died. But now the next in line had agreed, as it were, to take her place, to become king. He'd signed his name, he declared an oath. And so now a proclamation was being made. There is a new king. And as tradition has it, after a first public proclamation at St. James's Palace, the next proclamation, the next announcement was made on the steps of the Royal Exchange, this grand building in the City of London, opposite the Bank of England. "Long live the King!" went up the cry. And above their heads, engraved into the stonework, are the first words of Psalm 24. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it," although it's an older version. So it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And Psalm 24 is a psalm that announces a king. So look at verse 7 of Psalm 24. It says, "Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." The King of glory. Glory in the Bible is linked to weightiness in terms of value. A bit like we weigh precious stones, and the heavier they are, the more precious they are. The more worthy of praise, of wonder. Well, glory is like that. And here is one who's described as the King of glory. And in the poetic language that the psalm is using, that there's a sense in which for the king to come in, the doorways need to be made bigger. Lift up your gates, lift up the doorways, that the King of glory might come in. Be like the Baltimore Bridge that wasn't quite big enough for that container ship to get through. The gates, the doorways, bigger. All this glory to come in. Well, someone on the door replies, "Who is the King of glory? Should we let him in? Who is he?" "The Lord strong and mighty," comes the answer. The Lord mighty in battle. It's God himself, this King of glory. And so the pronouncement goes out again at the front of the procession. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory might come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? Verse 10, the Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. It's an impressive psalm, isn't it? It fits very well for Handel's Messiah. Capturing in the grandness of something of who this king is, what he's like. Captures our attention, makes us wonder and think and start to imagine. Who is the King of Glory? You know, and Handel's Messiah that picks up these words, it points us in the right direction for us today. Who is Psalm 24 speaking of? Well, it is the Messiah, God's Messiah. Messiah means king, anointed king. It's speaking of God's king. It's speaking of Jesus. Now, on that first Easter Sunday, later on from what we read earlier, two of Jesus' disciples were walking along a road to a place called Emmaus. They were pretty sad, downhearted, because Jesus, who they'd followed for the last 3 years, who'd given them much hope and promise, they'd even began to think, was he the Messiah, God's promised king? Well, he dies. And Jesus then suddenly starts to walk along with them on the road, and they don't recognize him. It's an extraordinary moment. And he starts asking them why they're sad, and they start telling him why they're sad. And Jesus says to them, I think quite gently, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. We saw on Good Friday in Psalm 22, didn't we, that Jesus suffered as was predicted in the Old Testament. He came to suffer in our place. A horrible death. And you know, it wasn't the crucifixion itself which was the worst of it. It was taking God's wrath, his punishment for sin. But Jesus isn't just the crucified king, he's the resurrected king, the King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Yesterday saw two great battles. I wonder if you watched either of them. Oxford against Cambridge. Hands up if you watched that battle yesterday. I prefer the dark blues, so we're not going to talk much about that one. Or gladiators. Hands up if you watched that one yesterday. Battles. Who's going to win? Who's victorious? Who do we want to win? Who gets the prize? Who gets the glory? The cheers. The praise. Well, you know, Jesus won a much greater battle than a boat race or a... what's it called at the end? The Travelator? We sang about it earlier. Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou over death has won. Jesus has beaten death. He is the King of Glory. Although for much of the gospel, it hasn't looked like it, has it? It hasn't looked glorious. He entered Jerusalem a week before. We remembered this last week, Palm Sunday. Hailed as a king, crowds shouting for him. But he came in on a donkey. Low down, that the crowds could hardly see him. Humble. And then a few days later, he was mocked as a king. The soldiers who had him under arrest, they started to take advantage of their position of power over him and stripped him of his clothes. They put a royal robe or a purple robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and shoved that on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. They knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. Then they spat on him. And they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. And after they'd mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him, even putting a sign over his head, mocking his kingship. "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Didn't look very glorious. But it was there on the cross that the battle was won, that death was defeated. We saw on Good Friday the reason we die is because of our sin. And Jesus on the cross paid for our sin. And that matters hugely for us today. And Psalm 24 helps us to see why. See, it doesn't just announce a king. It taps into some of the longings in our hearts. Verse 3 asks the question, "Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to come near to God? Why do we want to stand in his presence? Well, verse 5 tells us, those who do, verse 5, will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. And those are things we all want, all of us, whatever age you are this morning, whether you've stopped listening to me and drifted off, whether you're hanging on every word. We all want blessing from God and vindication from God. Do you know what vindication is? To be declared right, to be accepted. We all want to be accepted, don't we? We have those longings in our hearts. We don't want to feel like an outsider. We don't want to feel alone. And yet many of us in life do. Don't quite feel like we're accepted or fit in. Strive for ways to make that possible, make that happen, to be liked, included. And we want God's blessing. We want him to give us good things. We want him to give us life, ultimately. I'm fearful of things that might take that from us. We were made to enjoy relationship with him. To enjoy the good gifts from his hands. To enjoy life. To be secure in our identity. But can we draw close? Can we get those things from him? Verse 4 says, who can do that? Verse 4, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. He does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Now, if we're reading through the psalm, at that point our hearts should sink. Clean hands representing doing good, not doing bad. Now, we might have done some good, but all of us have messed up in some ways. And our hearts... Can I honestly say before God that in my heart of hearts, I'm pure? Have I lived looking to God? Have I lived looking to false gods? You know, on the steps of the Royal Exchange, where the pronouncement of the new king was made, there's an interesting view. If you're in the middle of the City of London, the steps of the Royal Exchange, look to your right, and there's the Bank of England. Pretty impressive building. Massive basement filled with gold. rooms full of important people who decide whether or not the interest rate should come down this month, or stay where it is, or go up. And we kind of hang on those things. What do we worship in our hearts? Where do we look to for security, for life, for blessing? Possessions, insurance, houses, retirement. Items or experiences that will boost my Instagram or my stories, that I might be accepted. You know, money's a false god. It will always leave us wanting more. It will always leave us insecure. Is it enough? Have I enough? Sure, if I've got more and I can't get my appointment quickly, I can go private, maybe. But one day death will get me. Money can't save me. Standing on those steps, looking to the right, there's the Bank of England. Looking to the left, you'd almost miss it. There's a small church building. St. Mary Woolnoth, most of us won't have heard of it. It's where John Newton was a minister for 28 years. He wrote the song Amazing Grace. A song that reminds us that in God, he's not looking for our performance to accept us. He's not looking for us to be good enough for us to be right with him. He's moved towards us in the Lord Jesus, the King of glory. How can we get close to God? How can we receive from him blessing and vindication, blessing and acceptance, not on our own merits, but following the King of glory? As the gates are lifted high, as the doors are flung open, that the King of glory may come in, well, if we're trusting him, we can follow behind him. Let me finish with this. There's a pastor in America called Ray Altland who opens his services with these words. This is his welcome every week, sort of slight variation on it each week, but these words. To all who are weary and need rest, to all who mourn and long for comfort, to all who feel worthless and wonder if God cares, to all who fail and desire strength, to all who sin and need a saviour, this church opens wide her doors with a welcome from Jesus Christ, the ally of his enemies, the defender of the guilty, the justifier of the inexcusable, the friend of sinners. Welcome. And he points to the red doors at the church and says, you know, we enter through these red doors and they remind us that we come through the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's how we're cleansed. That's how we're made right with God, that we might enter. Not that the church is where God is present, but that sense of coming to God together. We haven't got red doors, but we've got red blinds. Some of us like them, some of us don't. But what a wonderful picture. We shelter under the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so in him, the King of glory, we can enter into God's presence in this life and for eternity, knowing his blessing, knowing his acceptance through the King of glory. Do you know him? Do you trust him? Can I encourage you this Easter Sunday to look at him again if you don't, if you're not sure? Because this is what he offers you. Blessing and acceptance from God himself, and there is nothing better for this life and forever.